The NFL season is just around the corner, and what better way to get things started than by signing up at WinTheTrophy.com, the premier site in fantasy gambling. At WinTheTrophy.com, you wager credits on any game in sports. Win enough credits, and you can turn your genius picks into cold, hard cash. The site is completely free, completely legal, and all you need is an email address to sign up. I'm already there. You can challenge me to a betting duel. So log on to WinTheTrophy.com and make sure to use the referral code STG. That's WinTheTrophy.com, STG. All right, everyone, welcome to the Sports Gambling Podcast. I'm your host, Sean, making the money green, and I'm here with my partner in picks, Ryan Mad Dog Kramer. Ryan, how's it going, man?
It's great. How's my Eli jersey look?
Ryan is rocking his red Eli Manning jersey, but Ryan, you didn't wear that on Sunday. What happened?
No, I had to mix it up with the Brandon Jacobs. Turns out I'll be wearing that jersey the rest of the season.
So I think Ryan is responding, obviously, to the unfortunate debacle that happened in Philadelphia where the obviously racist refs decided not to call unsportsmanlike conduct on the victim, Michael Vick. And, you know, things got out of hand. Obviously, the refs were in the Giants' back pocket the entire game. They must have some sort of Tim McGonaghy situation, something like that. I'm probably pronouncing his name wrong, but it was a sham from the onset. Giants got extremely lucky. No, in all seriousness, I think the Giants were due. They had lost seven in a row, something like that.
Six
in a row. Three straight seasons of being swept by the Philadelphia Eagles. They were due to win. They were due to get one, and they got one. And I, you know, just setting up for another miracle in the Meadowlands coming later on the season. Ryan, let's get this game out of the way. What are your thoughts?
It played out exactly how I thought it would play out. Michael Vick made some mistakes. The great Aaron Ross stepped up after a bad game against St. Louis, and they ran the rock. I mean, Brandon Jacobs made Casey Matthews look retarded on that one play. It was pretty much the dream team wasn't looking too dreamy. Victor Cruz was a practice squad wide receiver, probably their fifth-string wide receiver coming into the season, and he torched Nnamdi Asamoah. Or I think that's how he said it.
Well, I don't know if torch is the right word. He kind of outpositioned him on the play.
To quote the great Chris Berman, whoop! I mean, that juke was absurd. Guess they're not paying him to tackle?
No, they're not paying him to tackle. He's Deion Sanders-esque. He just, I don't know, he seems too smart to tackle. He seems very educated nowadays.
He is a well-spoken African American.
He does try to present himself as very dignified. I don't think that helped. They need to get some hard-hitting guys. They need to find the corpse of Andre Waters, bring him back. Sure, he killed himself because of brain damage, but that just meant he left it all on the field. The Eagles need more players like that, more guys, less arm tackling, all right? I mean, if my coach, any coach I would have had, any coach I've had in Pee Wee football would have been disgusted. There would have been chalkboards broken, a lot of Oklahoma drills this week. Hopefully Andy Reid's going to be doing that. My dad actually ran into Andy Reid. My dad went down to the Philadelphia Flyers game, and he went to Chickie and Pete's, which is a very popular cheesesteak place right next to the stadium over there, and there was big fat Andy Reid waiting in line, get some fries. The cholesterol, I think, is getting to his brain.
So should point out one quick thing. And the Eagles thought that Brian Dawkins was too washed up to play for the team. There's no way that play happens if Brian Dawkins is on the team.
I miss Brian Dawkins. Weapon X. He's a man.
Still flying
man.
Around the field on the Denver Broncos.
Yeah, speaking of the Denver Broncos, yeah, let's get to that game. Denver Broncos against the Tennessee Titans last week. Let's see here. What was the final?
7 points.
17-14. I had Denver getting 7 points. I like that. They covered the spread. Tennessee, another team that just can't quite get a handle on. I mean, Chris Johnson has not done anything yet. It seems like they're just forcing Hasselbeck's hand, and he's kind of winning. I don't know. They haven't. I mean, they beat Baltimore. They beat Denver back-to-back. Is this Tennessee team contender or pretender, Ryan?
I think they're a pretender, but I think they're a team that you're just going to have to bet against when they're home and bet on when they're on the road. They have a really solid defense, so I think they're going to be in most games, but they'll probably be favored by too much at home and not favored by enough on the road.
Okay, now two pretenders, I think we can both agree. The Miami Dolphins at the Cleveland Browns. I think the line closed here at 2.5. Miami getting 2.5, and they covered that, even though they lost by 1 point. This was a tough one to handicap. I don't know. Somehow the bookmakers just seem to be right on these lines, especially these close games. Cleveland pulled it out, but, of course, didn't cover the spread. Any thoughts, Ryan?
The line actually moved. If you bet it on right before kickoff, it moved all the way to Miami -1. So if you were like myself, took Cleveland Cleveland +1, you actually cashed in on this game. But, yeah, both these – I mean, Miami had a little bit of hype. Cleveland had a lot of hype, and I'm not seeing anything yet. I think Cleveland's going to be a team you can certainly bet against this year and make some money. Miami might be a team you bet against at home and bet for on the road, like many years.
Yeah, they still seem at least competitive on the road. They got something going, but, I mean, the Reggie Bush, obviously in hindsight, that is a debacle.
Well, the big news is that Daniel Thomas, who looked horrible in the preseason, is looking like a NFL running back. I think he's got two straight games with 100 total yards or more.
Yeah, and Chad Henne is kind of Rex Grossman-esque in the idea that he can kind of manage games at times, but then turnovers will catch up to him. You don't really trust him that much, but you feel like if you put a decent team around him, he can do something.
They just need to put something in his helmet visor that says, when in doubt, throw the ball to Brandon Marshall.
Exactly. I mean, you know. Yeah, sure, Brandon Marshall has multiple personalities, and his girlfriend stabbed him with a wine glass.
They got all of that under control now, Sean. He's on the right doses.
Imagine you're this crazy that your ex-girlfriend stabs you, and then you get psychological treatment. Like, the girlfriend is the one who should be on the psychological medication, if you ask me. Call me old-fashioned, Ryan. And an old-fashioned shootout. Or no, it wasn't a shootout at all. But this was actually in our Super Hilton contest. We made a rebound. We went 4-for-1 now for the season. The money plays are
4-and-1.
Yeah, 4-and-1. So now we've moved our 3-week total to 7-7-1 against the spread, picking 5 games a week. So this is our biggest week. The one game we got wrong was the Cincinnati Bengals playing host to the 49ers. 49ers ended up winning 13-8. This was another just ugly game. I felt like Cincinnati was in it the entire time and just couldn't cover that 2.5. A lot like the game against Denver. But the game against Denver, they ended up covering the spread, but this time they couldn't pull it out.
I felt the same way about this game as I did the Saints-Packers game from week one. I feel like we were on the right side. I think Cincinnati is going to be a team that you can bet on a lot. We can talk about it later, but I kind of like them in the matchup this weekend, depending on what the spread is.
Okay, now a huge upset in the AFC East. The Buffalo Bills winning outright, 34-31 in New England. Ryan, tell me your thoughts on this game.
It was a great game. If you watched it, it was probably the most exciting game of the weekend. But man, you got to root for Buffalo. Those fans just have suffered for so long. And, to beat Tom Brady and his flowing locks and to pick him off. And after the game, the Patriots were acting like they didn't lose the game. It was unbelievable. They were acting like nothing was wrong.
It is great in sports when a guy with awesome hair loses. Somehow you feel vindicated, like, yeah, sure, you got that pretty boy face and that long hair, Tom, but we got a victory. We got a W. This is huge for the Buffalo Bills. They're a fun team to watch last year, or at least they were getting fun. You know what I mean? Like, they were a team you could bet on against the spread, and they were pesky. They were feisty. And now Ryan Fitzpatrick, he's just – where did this come from? I have no idea. But they are just this classic team, and I feel like they're a little different than the other Buffalo Bills teams that had okay starts a few seasons back. I think they had a decent start. I think you look at the Buffalo Bills right now, 3-0. They could go 6-7, 7-6, and make the playoffs. I think they've kind of put themselves in a position where, at home, they're very competitive, and I think they can beat crappy teams on the road. I don't know if they can go into New England or go into New York and beat them yet. I don't know if they're quite there yet, but Very exciting, very entertaining.
Two things to point out real quick. One, they do have to play the NFC East this year, so that will be interesting. And two, I can't remember the last time I saw Bill Belichick get so flustered that he called a timeout and basically blew the game for his team.
Yeah, that was a crazy ending. They needed that. Stevie Johnson got that near touchdown pass, got it down to the one-yard line.
Fred Jackson.
Okay, sorry. They ruled it a touchdown, but then since it was under 2 minutes, it got they took it up to the booth to review. Turns out it was on the 1 yard line. So now the game is tied. It was 31-31. Now I think at the time the New England Patriots had two timeouts. I think like around 1:30 left. But something happened. I mean, they stopped the clock for the review, and then after that, Belichick was so flustered. Like you said, he used another timeout, and that really cost them because then the Bills started kneeling the ball, and the undisciplined Patriots jumped over and threw him down, got an unsportsmanlike conduct. That gave the Buffalo Bills a first down, one more play, and allowed them to run the clock all the way down to kick a field goal as time expired. And you feel like if they would have just scored – if they wouldn't have reviewed that play and they would have scored a touchdown, you still like Brady's odds to bring him back and possibly score another touchdown. So very, very fortuitous for the Buffalo Bills. And longtime fan and close buddy, Zach, he's a diehard Buffalo Bills fan.
Your password.
He called and left me a voicemail. So I'll play this on the program.
You have 3 skipped messages, 1 saved message, main menu. First skipped message.
Hey, Sal, what's up? It's your cousin Dave. Just calling.
That's not it.
Message deleted. Next message.
Hey, Sean, Dave just here.
Message deleted. Next message.
Yo, the motherfucking Buffalo Bills, dude. Fucking Bills. Bring it back. I should have bet on this game, obviously. This should have been the week we went to Vegas. I should have bet on this motherfucking game. I'd be rich. I can't believe it. Tom Brady, fucking queer homosexual guy who likes dicks and pizza and such sucks because Tom Brady is a piece of shit and he threw 4 interceptions and I hate him. I just wish my only better thing is if Tom Brady would have got his legs broken and he would die of gonorrhea and rotten hell because I hate Tom Brady. He's a son of a bitch motherfucker. Hate that guy.
All right, so that's a diehard Buffalo Bills fan, Zach, checking in.
We should point out we have no evidence that Tom Brady is, in fact, gay.
Right, that's pure speculation on Zach's part. I don't want any libel lawsuits coming from the Sports Gambling Podcast. All right, let's take a couple quick looks here. Detroit, let's see, I don't think they covered, depending on where you got it at. They won by 3 points. Minnesota couldn't hold on to another big lead. I mean, it seems like a lock now. Just bet on Minnesota in the first half and bet against them in the second half. How do you give up 2 20-plus point leads at home, not boding well for Minnesota?
Your quarterback's Donovan McNabb, and you don't hand the ball off to Adrian Peterson?
Yeah,
I mean, both games, the same thing happened. They just didn't hand the ball off in the second half.
It's ridiculous. Drew Brees covered a 4-point spread. The New Orleans Saints beat up the Houston Texans. This was a shootout, 40-33. Seemed like how did New Orleans stick around in this game? I don't know, man. Houston just doesn't have an ability to close an elite team, and they haven't done that yet. So I'm still not getting on the Houston bandwagon until that happens.
How did we not bet the over on that game?
Right, that's
it
one of
those.
It
seemed too obvious.
Yeah, it's like, oh, of course, Houston New Orleans is going to run up the score. Well, now this is another low-scoring game. There was a monsoon-type action going on. Carolina pulled out a late victory and a late cover, 16-10 against Jacksonville. Cam Newton, man, that guy is just leading the team. They're hanging on. I mean, this was, they won. They only won 2 games last year. I think they're on the right pace or on the right path. I mean, I'm looking at Carolina to win maybe 5 or 6 games this year, but kind of sneaky against the spread.
Yeah, you got to beat the shitty teams before you beat the good teams, I guess. He didn't look great in this game, though.
No, he didn't. But, I mean, it was awful weather, and they pulled out his first victory, so you got to give it to him. Now the New York Jets going east to west in Oakland. Everyone seemed to be on Oakland in this game, and Oakland pulled it off, getting 3.5 points at home. They won straight up by 10 points. I think Nick Mangold and the Jets, their center, not being there, I think that was a big plus. And Oakland just has an ability to run the ball. You take the ball out of Jason Campbell's hands, you play good defense, you got Janikowski to give you a couple big boots, and it seems like a good way to win the game.
I think this might have been my money line underdog pick of the week. I'm not sure, but we love this. This was one of our Hilton picks. So
yep, won that one. That was a great pick. Now this one, Ryan, you almost had me thinking St. Louis getting 4 points at home, but instead the Ravens come into town and blow them out 37-7.
Thank God that's the news came out about Steven Jackson and Cadillac not being 100% or maybe not even playing, because otherwise I would have bet money on this, and that saved me a couple dollars.
Yeah. I mean, is this St. Louis team? What's going to happen? Do they still have a shot at winning the division or making the playoffs, or is this another wasted season for the Rams?
No, and in fact, I was perusing some divisional odds right now, and the NFC West, which is pretty up for grabs, Seattle is 12-1 somehow to win the division. And as far as I can tell, they're just as bad as every other team. So I put a couple dollars on it. I'm not totally expecting it to come through, but I mean.
Now, what are the Rams? What's their division odds? Did you see those?
The 49ers were right around even money. The Rams were right around 2-1.
How are the Rams?
And the Cardinals are right around 3-1, and the Seattle was 12-1. That's
Seattle's won a game.
They have a divisional win. They're 1-1 in the division. They won their home game, and they're 1-2 overall. They're in second place. They're a game out.
And they just, I mean, except for those Ted Ginn returns, they almost won that game in San Francisco. So I think that's I think it's kind of a decent bet just based on how poor the rest of the teams have been playing. Okay, now San Diego beat Kansas City 20-17. San Diego, of course, came nowhere near covering that 14.5-point spread. Kansas City just looks awful. San Diego, though, still doesn't look that great. So San Diego's a team I like to pick against right now.
I actually looked it up because I was pretty confident. It was a Romeo Crennel thing, and he actually owns Phillip Rivers and the Chargers.
Really?
When he, being the defensive coordinator of the Kansas City, coaching the Browns, being a coordinator for the Patriots, he's always done well against Phillip Rivers. So I'm kind of on the San Diego train this year, so I'm going to kind of ignore this game because it really seemed like they just knew what play San Diego was calling.
Okay, now gut check time for the Chicago Bears at home against the Green Bay Packers, a rematch of the NFC Championship game. Could Chicago come back? Could Jay Cutler step up, win a big game at home? And the answer was no. They lost the game, and they couldn't cover the 3.5 or 4 points, losing to the Green Bay Packers 27-17. I wasn't high on this game on picking Chicago. I picked Green Bay. And I have trouble picking Chicago right now until they address that offensive line.
You know who else picked Green Bay, Sean? That ref that threw that holding penalty that punt return. I mean, that was probably the sportsbook moment of the day because
– That was huge. What Ryan is referring to is this amazing play the Bears drew up. This is late in the game. They're down 10 points. And what they did was on the punt return, they had Devin Hester run all the way to one side of the field and have all the blockers go over there to block to set up the punt. He waves for a fair catch, and the ball's not there. The ball's on the opposite side of the field where Johnny Knox grabs it, runs down the sideline, basically untouched, and scores a touchdown. But somehow there's this phantom holding call to pull it back. I don't think it would have changed the outcome of the game because the Bears still needed to recover an onside kick and kick a field goal, but the 7 points would have made a difference. They would have covered the spread. That was huge.
Here's the craziest part is that besides the holding, was that the punter was even kind of faked out. He punted the ball, and
he should know where the ball's going.
But, yeah, that was a pretty crazy play. It would have been a fun sportsbook moment.
Now, this was the ugly game of the week, the Arizona Cardinals going up to the Seattle Seahawks, where, like we talked earlier, Seattle won. They won one in the division here. They won by 3 points. They were actually getting 3.5 at home with the 12th man. Not much going on here, just two crappy teams going at it, and Arizona wasn't able to put together enough scoring to outmatch the hapless Seattle Seahawks.
Seattle does not do much on offense. I think they're going to get better on offense, but they actually have a pretty decent defense. And I mean, we'll talk about it in a little bit, but Atlanta is going into Seattle this weekend, and they have not shown up on the road, so that's an interesting game.
Okay, and let's see, rounding out the rest of the week, week three action, we had Atlanta at Tampa Bay. This was another one of our picks. Tampa Bay, -1.5 at home. They covered that nicely, 16-13. But I felt like Tampa was in control of this game pretty much the entire game. I mean, it got a little close at the end there, but they, you know, they control the ball. LeGarrette Blount doesn't do anything that crazy, but he's able to hold on to the ball and just kind of wear the Falcons down. And, yeah, I'm really not high on the Falcons this year.
Yeah, and Tampa really owned – for only being 16-13, I guess they didn't – they kind of left the door open for Atlanta, but they really kind of dominated this game. And, oh, man, Atlanta is just – could they be any more of a disappointment? Unbelievable.
No, they couldn't, and they're 1-2, and it doesn't look good for them or their division. Now, the Saturday night lineup – hold on a second. Okay, so the Sunday night game, the Pittsburgh Steelers were at the Indianapolis Colts. This was one of the supposed primetime matchups, or at least going into the year. Of course, Peyton Manning being out changes it. And the Indianapolis Colts stepped up, man. They stepped up to the point that they covered the 10.5 points. I think it's a combination of Pittsburgh not being that good and Indianapolis not wanting to get embarrassed on a national stage. What are your thoughts? Where was this Indy defense earlier on in the year?
I mean, I don't know if you watched the pregame, but Tony Dungy pointed out exactly what would happen, or the only way Pittsburgh could possibly not just dominate this game, and that's if they tried to pass the ball too much. And they tried to pass the ball. Dwight Freeney and Mathis got loose, hit Ben. And, yeah, I don't know. I mean, Pittsburgh's a much better team who just – I mean, you watched the game. They were out of offensive linemen at one point with injuries, and I think this was more of a fluke than anything else. Crowd was yoked up. Defense played pretty well. I don't think you'll see this kind of performance from Indy again all season.
Yeah, I think they have a Monday night game coming up.
They play Monday night, but it's in Tampa.
Yeah.
I think they're going to get absolutely destroyed.
Okay, now speaking of the Monday night game, week three, the Washington Redskins lost 18-16 against the Dallas Cowboys. I think depending where you got this spread, we got it in the Hilton contest where we picked it. We got Washington +4.5. They covered that spread nicely. Dallas unable to score a touchdown. Felix Jones is banged up. He re-aggravated his shoulder. What are your thoughts on this game, and what are your thoughts on these two teams going forward?
I mean, Dallas looked their offense looked awful. They didn't know where to line up. The center kept spiking the ball into Tony Romo's chest. He looked in pain every time he took a hit, and yet the Redskins still managed to blow the game. I still like both these teams. The game played out exactly how I thought it was going to play out. Low scoring, a lot of field goals, typical NFC East battle. And just like most NFC East games, you got to take the points, yeah. Especially when it's more than three. And it opened at 4.5. It closed closer to 3.5. So anywhere you got it, you still won.
All right, well, now let's stay on Dallas here. Week four, the Dallas Cowboys are coming off a short week. They're 1-point favorites against the surprising Detroit Lions.
Yeah, I really – this line opened at 3, and I really wanted to be able to take Detroit +3, but I don't know. I mean, this line's going to creep down to pick 'em, I bet, and maybe even favor Detroit, which is crazy.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I'm going to go with Detroit on this one because I hate Dallas and I can't take Dallas. But, yeah, I mean, I could see Dallas winning in a close game. I mean, Detroit, they didn't look great in the first half against Minnesota, but I think that's just kind of how Minnesota is. I think they just – I don't see anyone being able to slow down Calvin Johnson on that Dallas secondary. And I like Detroit's defensive line to get in Romo's face early and often, bang him up even more. And like you said, they're getting their first-round pick fairly back. We were talking about that before the podcast, that he's scheduled to make his debut. Is that right?
Yeah, it looks like that. And I think I might end up taking Dallas, and for one reason. I think Rob Ryan is really going to throw the kitchen sink at Matthew Stafford, and it's going to be something he hasn't seen before. Look for him to throw at least a couple interceptions, and I think Dallas ends up winning in a game that's, you know, somewhere 27-24 type deal.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's going to be a close game, but I'll give the nod to the hot Detroit Lions. Dallas coming off a short week. Now, the New Orleans Saints are headed over to the Jacksonville Jaguars. They are 7-point favorites in Jacksonville. Does Jacksonville have a chance to win this game, Ryan? Or do they have a chance to cover?
This game to me feels like the Week 7 Colts at Jacksonville game every year, where the Colts are favored by like a touchdown and Jacksonville somehow wins the game. The Saints have been showing that they will allow you to run the ball against them. So if Jacksonville can keep Gabbert from making mistakes and run the rock and play a little defense, I guess so. It's just hard to take an underdog if you know they have no chance to win the game. So that being said, not sure I'm going to lay any real money on this, but I don't know how you'd – I'm going to take Jacksonville just to go against the public because I'm pretty sure the whole country is going to bet on the Saints.
I think it's 7 points. I like Jacksonville. If it goes under 7, I think it's a stay away and maybe even take New Orleans. But something tells me that New Orleans going on the road to Jacksonville. Jacksonville is just this up-and-down team, and I think last week they were on the road in Carolina, didn't cover, didn't win. Coming back to Jacksonville, you got MJD. I think they're going to keep it close. I think this is just one of these games that they keep close, and I don't think New Orleans blows them out. I think New Orleans, if they win, it's by 3 or 4 points, so I'm going to take Jacksonville getting 7. Now, my Philadelphia Eagles are at home trying to right the ship that has been the 2011 season where the San Francisco 49ers are coming in. San Francisco not looking great this year so far, not looking great at all, and they are 7.5-point underdogs in Philadelphia where it looks like Michael Vick will probably play. It turned out his hand was not broken like originally thought. There was a popped blood vessel that made it look like a break. So the Eagles, I mean, this spread, obviously, 7.5 points, I think, is with Vic playing. I think if it's Kafka, you're looking at maybe under 6 points here. What are your thoughts on this game, Ryan?
I think this is a trap spread in that I think they're making it 7.5 so people take San Francisco. The one thing, I mean, the Eagles will let you run the ball. Frank Gore is probably not going to play. I know he's injured. San Francisco hasn't looked great. They don't have any really dynamic playmate. I mean, Vernon Davis, maybe. I don't really like any of their receivers. Their defense is solid, but if Vic plays, I mean, Alex Smith is going to get, I don't know, he's horrible. I can't bet on Alex Smith, and I really think this line should be, if the Eagles win last week, this line's at least 10 points. So yeah. I'm taking the Eagles, and I hate the Eagles.
Yeah, I think Eagles are going to win 28-17. That's my pick here. I'm trying not to be a homer about this, but I think what you pointed out was made sense. I think Alex Smith is going to struggle against the Eagles' cornerbacks. I think losing at home.
They just got humbled by the Giants, and a Giants team that shouldn't have beat them.
Yeah, obviously I'm not on the Super Bowl bandwagon as if there is one, but I think – I don't see them losing back-to-back games at home, and I think they take care of business here in a big way against the 49ers. I like the Eagles 28-17.
DeSean's going to have a big game. He's due for one of those games where he has 2 80-yard touchdowns.
Yeah, I could see him busting open against the San Francisco defense. Now, speaking of the NFC East, the Washington Redskins are going out to St. Louis, where surprisingly this game is a pick-em. So I guess they're saying – on a neutral field, Washington is only 3 points better than St. Louis. Now, I know Washington is coming off a loss at Dallas there, a close game Monday night. It's going to be a short week. They got to go back home and then go back out to St. Louis. But, man, I don't know what you're seeing out of this St. Louis Rams team that doesn't make them an underdog in almost any situation. Ryan, how did the St. Louis Rams cover this game?
They don't. I mean, so basically you're saying, will St. Louis win? No, they won't. They're horrible. The Redskins have a really good defense. I'm convinced that their defense is legitimate. And what are the Rams going to do? The Rams, I mean, the best team, the worst team the Rams have played so far has been who? The Giants probably, right?
And yeah, or you could say the Eagles. I mean, the Giants beat the Eagles.
They haven't looked good. I do think that Washington can move the ball and score points. I think basically if you score 21 points in this game, you're going to win. So I'm going to take Washington, and I think it's going to be not pretty, and we're going to I think Steve Spagnuolo is going to be the first coach where we're seriously talking about he might lose his job.
Yeah, and it's one of those things, like, he was on the Eagles for a while. He seemed to know what he's doing.
Great D coordinator for the Giants.
It's tough
won the
making
Super Bowl.
That transition from coordinator to head coach sometimes, and some guys can't pull it off. And especially you kind of put some right talent together. Have you heard anything about Steven Jackson, whether he's going to play or not?
It sounds like he's going to get more carries. But, I mean, you kind of feel bad because the schedule. They basically started the season Eagles, Giants, Ravens, and now Redskins.
Yeah, so if you're scoring at home, the Eagles beat the St. Louis Rams in St. Louis 31-13. The Giants beat the St. Louis Rams 28-16. That, of course, was in New York. Now, Washington, who I feel like is at least on par with the Eagles and Giants this season, if not maybe better. I don't know. I mean, they all seem – all the teams in the NFC seem pretty competitive right now. So I feel like the Washington Redskins will win this game outright. So I like them in this pick 'em. Now, Cleveland Browns are hosting the Tennessee Titans, where Cleveland is -1. So the Tennessee Titans are only getting 1 point here. But I think that 1 point's enough. I'm gonna take Tennessee here. I think Chris Johnson is due for a big game, man. He is just due for a big game. And I think you just look at the quarterbacks, I think Hasselbeck has been playing well. He's completing close to 70% of his passes. Colt McCoy has had his moments, but not doesn't really seem like they're making that next step. And, I mean, I'm not super high on this Tennessee team, but I think this is another game they could win.
Yeah, I think, like I said earlier, I think you got to take Tennessee on the road. I don't think Cleveland should be favored. They haven't shown anything that makes me believe that they're a better team than Tennessee. I think this should be probably be a Tennessee -2 scenario. And so, yeah, I'll take Tennessee for sure, +1.
Okay, now what some people are calling a trap game here, the Buffalo Bills off their big win against New England, 3-point favorites in Cincinnati. Tough game here. Will's Cedric Benson going to play? Have we heard anything on that?
No news on the suspension.
Okay. So I think that could shift the line here, maybe a half point. I'm going to ride the Bills, man. I'm going to ride the Bills. This team is hot. They're just playing fired up. I know there's a huge chance for a letdown win here, a letdown game going on the road in Cincinnati, but I'm just not that high on Cincinnati, and I think this Buffalo team is just – it's too feisty, man. I think these two wins where they came from behind, obviously those were at home, but they look great in Arrowhead. I think they can do it in Cincinnati.
I do think that – I think this line's going to end up closing at 3.5. And in that case, I definitely think this is the game where the wheels fall off the circling wagons of the Buffalo Bills. I don't know. I think Cincinnati will play tough defense and just pound the rock, and Buffalo cannot stop the run. And that's one of the reasons I think that they were able to, you know, come back against New England, is New England cannot run the ball. So – I think it'll be interesting.
They also, I'm just playing devil's advocate. They came back against the Raiders, and the Raiders, that's one of their strengths, their ability to run the ball.
Sure, at home. I think it's going to be a different story when they're on the road. So I'll take Cincinnati, +3, +3.5, whatever it is.
Okay. Now, a matchup of the inept, Minnesota Vikings at the Kansas City Chiefs. Kansas City Chiefs are 1.5-point underdogs at Arrowhead. Oh, man. It's a shame we have to pick this game or even think about it. Ryan, give me your rapid reaction to this one.
I'm taking Minnesota. Of all the teams, offense and defense of both of these teams, Minnesota has a legitimately good defense, and Minnesota has a good special teams. Kansas City doesn't do anything well. And I know it's in Arrowhead. I know they have a good home field advantage. And I'll say this. As long as McNabb doesn't lose the game and they give the ball to Adrian Peterson – I like Minnesota's defense to keep Castle from doing anything, and if AP gets 25 carries, they win the game.
Seems like an easy formula, and like you said, I'm not high on Kansas City at all. But, I mean, this isn't a big enough – I'm not going to take Kansas City unless it's over a touchdown, I think, at this point. Kansas City has not shown any ability to score. I like the under, too, here, 39.5 points. I mean, I don't see how Kansas City scores more than 14, and I don't see, you know, I think Minnesota scoring 24 points. I don't see them getting much higher. So I kind of like the under here, 39.5. That seems kind of high almost.
It's pretty crazy to look back and think that Kansas City was favored by 6.5 over the Buffalo Bills week one.
Yeah. Well, we learned a lot of things in these first few weeks, and one which we learned is that the Chicago Bears are relying way too much, seemingly, on their pass game and an offensive line that seemingly can't protect Jay Cutler. Ryan, is there any chance the Chicago Bears cover 6.5 points against the Carolina Panthers coming into town?
This is another one. I think they made – this should probably be a touchdown. I like the Bears. I like the Bears' defense to really bottle up Cam Newton. The Bears' defense typically plays well against the mobile quarterbacks. They have a front four that can get after the quarterback without blitzing. They're going to force Cam Newton to dump it down. He wants to go deep. I mean, when you beat the Bears, you have to either be, you know, basically Aaron Rodgers or settle for underneath stuff. And I think Cam Newton's going to get frustrated. He's going to get baited into some interceptions. He's going to get sacked. I think this might be an ugly game for Cam Newton, and this might be the welcome to the NFL game.
Yeah, I think he's got one more game left before he really hits the wall as a rookie quarterback, and I think this is another one that he keeps close. In the same way that they backdoored Green Bay, I think they look to do that in Chicago. I know it's going to be a little tougher for them in Soldier Field, but I think 6.5 points right now is. It's too much for this Bears offensive line, and they've posted themselves in too much of a one-dimensional phase. I think Carolina keeps it close. I like them getting 6.5 points.
I really like the under here too. I think you're going to see a game where both defenses play well. Carolina needs to run the ball to be successful, and Chicago shuts down the run. So
now Houston. The Houston Texans gut check time here, -4 against the incoming Pittsburgh Steelers. I'm going to go with Houston here. I think they rebound against the loss to the Saints. I think they play well at home. And I'm not buying this Pittsburgh team. I think their offensive line is banged up. I think Mario Williams could have an impact here on the defensive end. I like Houston's passing game up against Pittsburgh's defense. I mean, I could see Pittsburgh pulling this out, but I think Houston -4 is kind of right where the line should be at, and I'll take the home favorite.
Oh, I love Pittsburgh in this game. I like Pittsburgh +4. I like Pittsburgh money line. There's no way Houston should be favored by 4. This should be a 3-point spread at most. I think you're gonna see the Pittsburgh defense just lay the smack down on Houston.
But you really believe in Pittsburgh?
I believe that in Pittsburgh's defense. I think that they'll figure out the offensive line problems like they did last year. They had the same problems all last year.
I mean, let's look at Pittsburgh. They got destroyed by Baltimore. They beat up on the Seahawks, and then they almost lost to the Colts.
Sure.
Now you're going into Houston. You think they can keep it close there?
I do. I think they're going to win. I think they're going to shut down Houston. I think they're going to score a lot. I think Houston has one major deficiency, and that's they can't. They're going to get lit up by the receivers, kind of like the New Orleans just showed on. I think you're going to see Mike Wallace have a big game. I think you're going to see either Andre Brown or Emmanuel Sanders catch a deep touchdown pass. I think it's going to be – and actually, I kind of like the over. I think it might be a little bit of a shootout. Pittsburgh will hold down Houston to maybe 17 points, but I could see Pittsburgh scoring in the 30s.
All right. Now, I don't know if either of these teams can score in the 30s. Atlanta Falcons heading – northwest to Seattle Seahawks, where the Atlanta Falcons are 4.5-point favorites on the road. It's a very long journey from Atlanta to Seattle, coming off a tough loss in Tampa Bay. Do the Falcons rebound and cover this 4.5 points, or does Seattle keep it close and possibly win?
As Bill Simmons would say, this is the Vegas zone, right? But I think they put it here as a mild trap. I think this line should probably be Atlanta -6. But you put it Atlanta -6, no one's betting on Atlanta. I really like Seattle, as crazy as that is. I think Sidney Rice is back and healthier than he was. They started getting Zach Miller into the mix. They have Marshawn Lynch. I think their offense is going to slowly get better each week. Their defense is solid. They can actually stop the run. So Atlanta needs to run the ball. I'm a little concerned about their cornerbacks matching up against the two physical receivers and Tony Gonzalez, but I'm going to roll with the 12th man in Seattle plus 4.5 here.
Yeah, I'm not sold on this Atlanta team at all. I'm not super high on the Seattle 4.5, but I'm going to take Seattle 4.5. My logic being they just beat Arizona 13-10 at home.
Matt Ryan on the road.
They beat Arizona by 3 points. Atlanta's giving away 4.5 points. That's a 7.5-point difference seemingly between Atlanta and Arizona. And obviously the NFL doesn't work completely like that, but I think there's enough value here in how Seattle's played at home to take them getting 4.5 points. Now, speaking of these very Arizona Cardinals, the Arizona Cardinals are hosting the New York Football Giants, where the Giants are currently 1.5-point favorites on the road. East team going west, but it's only 1.5. Ryan, why would the Arizona Cardinals cover this game?
I have no idea. Maybe Fitzgerald runs wild against the Giants' defensive backs, but word on the street is Osim and Yor is going to be coming back. That gives him another pass rusher. I just don't.
What about Beanie Wells? He doesn't seem to be doing much this year.
Well, right? Beanie Wells should be back. They're saying that his hamstring injury is going to be fine. But, I mean, the Giants will – I don't know. I mean, maybe their defense isn't as good as it's been in years past, but – I don't know. I don't see how the Giants lose this game. A 1.5-point spread, essentially, you're saying that Arizona's going to win.
Yeah, I mean, I think from what we already saw so far of NFC East teams versus NFC West, with the exception of Arizona keeping it close in D.C., but Washington really felt like it seemed like they were a better team there by a lot in that game. From the Rams games, I just think the NFC East right now, I don't see any team in the NFC East going up against an NFC West team where the spread shouldn't be at least 4 points. I mean, home or away, I think it's just a superior division right now. Obviously, I'm biased, but I just don't – I'm not a Kevin Cobb believer. You know, you kind of – for me to buy into Kevin Cobb, I got to see it. I got to see him winning big games. This is a big chance for him to prove himself, and I don't see him stepping up.
Going back to the site of Super Bowl 42, Mario Manningham coming back, Osim and Yor coming back. It just seems like that. Someone needs to explain this spread to me.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's what we talked about. NFC East team going west. Arizona, when they had that dome closed up, they do have a noise advantage. I think it makes it tough to make calls at the line of scrimmage. But this Arizona secondary is just, I mean, not that the Giants' pass offense is something to be feared consistently, but, I mean, the Giants' pass offense looked pretty good on the road against the Eagles' defensive backs, who are, in my mind, far superior than what Arizona's trotting out these days. So I think -1.5 for the Giants is a pretty safe bet.
Marshawn Lynch almost rushed for 100 yards against this Cardinals' defense. I'm pretty sure Bradshaw and Jacobs are going to have a big day.
I mean, this Cardinals' defense has looked awful in all the situations. I mean, they looked awful at home against the Panthers. They pulled it out because of a punt return for a touchdown. They didn't look good against the Redskins. Obviously, Rex Grossman kind of gave them the game with a couple red zone turnovers there. And they didn't look good. I mean, they looked okay, I guess. They only held Seattle 13 points. But still, I don't see the Giants losing this game. So I think -1.5 is a pretty safe bet here. Now, wow, this spread surprised me. It's already moved down from what I originally saw it. I originally saw it at 9 points, but now it looks like the Miami Dolphins are only getting 7 points in San Diego. I'm going to have to go with Miami here. Miami getting 7 points. They seem to cover spreads on the road. Still not quite high in San Diego. We'll see how the health of Antonio Gates is later on the week. I especially like this Miami if you're getting it at 7.5. Seven, I think, is kind of where the spread should be. San Diego has looked good at times, but it's just seemingly brief moments. Ryan, what are your thoughts here?
The spread opened at 9, so I think a lot of people have been betting Miami. They bet it down to 7. I'll take the Chargers. They can't keep rolling this talent out on the field and laying eggs. And what are we at, game 4? Usually it's game 4 or 5 when a Norv Turner team turns it around. So I don't know. I'm not feeling great about taking the 7, but I'll take San Diego just because Miami's secondary has looked awful. I think Phillip Rivers should shred them. Who knows, though?
Now, another big spread here, the Denver Broncos going into Green Bay, where Green Bay is laying 13 points. Do they have what it takes to cover that big spread, Ryan? Or will Kyle Orton and the Denver Broncos cover 13 points?
13 points in the NFL is a lot, and for as bad as Denver moved the ball against Tennessee, who has a much better defense, and that game was in Tennessee, has a much better defense than Green Bay at this point. This game's going to all come down to if Denver can keep up with Green Bay, because I'm not sure. Well, I guess it all depends. If Champ Bailey's back in Doomerville, I actually kind of like Denver in this game. 13 points is a lot, and Green Bay hasn't really shown that they can, A, run the ball consistently, and B, play defense consistently.
Yeah, I mean, basically I'm comparing this to the Carolina game. I think Denver and Carolina, you can make a lot of comparisons here on these teams and their abilities. I think 13 points, though, is too much to give to Denver. Obviously, I understand where Green Bay is coming from. Obviously, a much superior team. But like you said, 13 points is too much in the NFL. Kyle Orton still has an ability to move the ball. And I think they're going to be able to not necessarily keep it close, but get a garbage touchdown late.
It could be a 17-point game, and they score late, and now they backdoor them. It's
right.
That's a lot
Green
of points.
Bay, and Green Bay seems – that seems to be their weakness, their pass defense. I mean, you've seen it in the Carolina game. You saw it in the New Orleans game. I don't see any – I mean, what they do last week? It was who Green Bay play last week?
Green Bay at Chicago.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and I mean, even that game, they still – they didn't cover, you know – I mean, they didn't cover a huge spread against Chicago. I don't know. I would take Denver here. Maybe even take the over. 47 is kind of high, but neither of these teams seem to play defense. So you kind of cover yourself in case Green Bay blows them out. Now, speaking of getting blown out, the New England Patriots were set to blow out the Buffalo Bills, but no. The Bills circled the wagons and came back with Ryan Fitzpatrick. And now, New England Patriots, after being humbled by the lowly Bills, are heading west to Oakland, where the Oakland Raiders are coming off a pretty big win over the New York Jets. And the New England Patriots are laying 4.5 points. What do you think, Ryan? Does Oakland extend their two-game win streak here against the AFC East, or does
this is tough? I mean, New England coming off a loss. I don't know what the number is, but I don't think they lose two in a row too many times. That being said, Oakland can really run the rock. But if New England wins the game against Buffalo like they're supposed to, this is, what, a 7-point spread?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I still think – I wouldn't say it was a fluke last week. I would say it just shows you how far the Bills have come and how competitive their team is now. But I don't think Brady is going to have another 4-interception game. And if he doesn't have that 4-interception game and he doesn't throw a pick for a touchdown there – basically, this bet, in my mind, is will Tom Brady have a good game or not? I think if Tom Brady has a good game, like he did the first two games, I think they cover this 4.5 points. They cover it pretty comfortably. And I think that's a safe bet. I think he's going to return to form, and I like them laying 4.5 points. Okay, now the Sunday night game where the New York Jets, coming off a loss on the West Coast to the Oakland Raiders, are getting 3.5 points in Baltimore. This is a tough game to call. Sitting right at 3.5 points. A half point, that hook making you think. The hook is making me think, Ryan. Do I like the Jets here getting that extra half point, or do I like the Ravens? Ravens have started to look good. After that loss to Tennessee, they rebounded nice. A big win against the Rams. Is Mangold back for the Jets?
I'm not sure, actually. That's a big swing, but
you know what? That's going to be my centerpiece right there. If Mangold's back, I like the Jets getting 3.5 points. So I'll pencil him in as coming back. It was a high ankle sprain. He's an offensive lineman. I think he'll be back. So I'll take the Jets here, 3.5 points. But Ryan, play devil's advocate. Why do you think the Baltimore Ravens could cover 3.5?
Well, 2 out of 3 weeks this season, they've looked awesome. The thing is, the week that they didn't look awesome, Joe Flacco looked like dog shit.
Yeah,
and
really
I think did. I think if you take out his first season, he has not been consistent. I think it wouldn't be surprising to see Rex Ryan really confuse him and force him to make some mistakes. So just on that matchup alone, I know Mark Sanchez is awful, but they don't let Mark Sanchez do as much as they let Joe Flacco do. So I think this is going to come down to which quarterback makes less mistakes and which quarterback, you know, I like the Dustin Keller connection. I think Mark Sanchez makes less mistakes. I think Sanchez throws two picks to Flacco's three, and that's the difference in the game.
All right, sensible logic there. I just like the Jets just because I like the Jets in big games. They seem to play well in prime time. They seem to play well when they know it's a big game. I think obviously going to the West Coast there was a little bit of a letdown. Baltimore, I think they'll be. I have a feeling they'll be a little more focused. It's going to be a tough game, but I like them getting 3.5. I think might lose by one here, something like that. They might lose by two or three. I think 3.5 is, I like that extra half there for the Jets. Now, Monday night, is 10 points enough for Indianapolis going into Tampa Bay? I say no, it's not. I like Tampa Bay minus 10. I think Indianapolis kind of shot its wad there on Sunday night. Even though they have an extended week here with Curtis Painter, who looked okay at times, I still don't think it's going to be enough. Like Tampa Bay riding a little momentum after their nice win against Atlanta at home. And I like Tampa Bay laying 10. I know it's a lot. I think over 10 points you got to think Indy, but 10 and under I'd like Tampa.
For some reason, the Colts surprised everyone by running the ball when they don't have a quarterback. I don't think that surprise is out of the bag. I think Tampa, I mean, those...
Put it this way, the Colts just signed Orlovsky back.
Oh, well, that's horrible news.
Because...
And if you remember, Orlovsky is the guy for the Lions a couple years ago that actually willingly ran out of the back of the end zone and gave his team a safety. So that's a winner. I think the Indy's defensive line and the speed of that defense is neutralized on the long grass of Tampa. I think, you know, Indy has always had trouble stopping the run. I think you're going to see Josh Freeman, you know, stuff the ball down their throat with Blunt, and then you're going to see some play action. You're going to take some shots with Williams. They got Kellen Winslow, who is still a soldier, I think. And I don't know. Big spread, but take Tampa. Home game. I don't know if Tampa's had a home Monday night game in a while, so the crowd will be all excited for fireworks.
Yeah, they got that cannon going. Yeah, you can't bet against the cannon, man.
I'm sure John Lynch will be there, get the crowd pumped up.
He's going to choke slam some dudes. Chucky will be there calling the game. You just feel like it's going to be Tampa's night. All right, Ryan, it's that time again. Give me your Week 4 Lock of the Week.
So, yeah, I was actually just realizing how I don't feel really great about any of these picks, but I've been trying to not take a road team as a lock, a road favorite especially. So I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to take this Tennessee team. I've kind of talked myself into really liking Tennessee. I haven't seen anything from Cleveland. Even if Hillis is back, I think the best unit on these two teams is going to be the Tennessee defense. And I like Hasselbeck to manage games. That's what he's kind of done is the last 5 years of his career. So I'm going to take Tennessee. Like you said, Chris Johnson probably pops one, and that's the difference. I like Tennessee to win by a field goal or 4 points.
Okay. Now, do you have a upset special?
You know what? I've decided on I'll put it this way. Take Cincinnati money line and Seattle money line. One of the two will hit, if not both.
Okay. So you have a 4.5-point dog and a 3-point dog.
Both of them you're going to be able to get probably by kickoff at about one plus 160, plus 165, if not a little bit more. I think it's going to be Cincinnati. I think you're going to start. This is going to be the game where you hear everyone talking about, oh, I guess the Bills were pretenders. So.
Okay, I can see that. Three games, Buffalo hitting their wall. I don't think that's the week yet for Buffalo. I'm going to go for my lock of the week. I totally agree with you on that Tennessee game. I think that's a strong play. I think we'll probably be playing that in our Hilton contest. I'm going to go. Now, this is great because it works two ways. Either they win this game and my lock is right, or the New York Giants lay an egg in Arizona. So I'm gonna potentially jinx the Giants by picking them as my lock of the week, -1.5 in Arizona. And my upset special, a near touchdown in the Windy City. I'm gonna go with Carolina for my upset special. It's a little bit of a gamble, but I just got a feeling Carolina's gonna play strong in Chicago. The Chicago team feels beat to me. They feel defeated.
That is one of those games where I think you either take Chicago -6.5 or Carolina money line. I don't think Carolina loses and covers. I think they either get blown out or win the game. But I got to say, the Giants would have been my lock, but I obviously can't pick the Giants as my lock. But they might be one of our Hilton picks this week.
Yeah, no, I think, like I said, Tennessee I like as our Hilton pick. The Giants, you don't really seem that high in Carolina.
We disagree on Pittsburgh also. That's another one I really like.
Pittsburgh I could be won over. Maybe New England.
I don't know. We might end up going with Philly and the Giants. That's trouble.
Philly, that's 7.5, man. That scares me. That extra hook. Plus the inside info knowing that Andy Reid's at Chickie and Pete's instead of – oh, he's probably near the – my dad was down by the – he was at the Flyers game. So he could have been at the practice facility, just quick jumped out to get some Chickie and Pete's and go back to the stadium and not think about his kids. So.
He was probably picking up food for his meth head kids.
It wasn't meth. It was opiates.
Oh, and, sorry.
It's a shame. His family was addicted. I mean, obviously addiction is an issue in the Reed household. All right, well, that does it for the Week 4 Sports Gambling Podcast. I'm Sean Green, and he's
out.